Hello, hello. How are you? Good. I apologize. I don't know what happened. I was waiting for you in the lobby of Riverside,
Oh
and
yeah, no worries.
yeah, it was and the second time it's done that to me. So I apologize for wasting a little bit of your time there, Chief. How you been?
So this is a video interview?
Yeah, I'm just gonna record it so that I can have all the notes to go back to and transcribe it, so it makes it
Okay.
easier for me.
But you're not putting me on video. Okay.
No. Unless you want to, unless you want some PR. No.
I don't do video interviews.
Okay. So how are things, man? How have you been?
Good. Busy, but good. We
Yeah.
have made the venture into packaging, so we've been doing folding cartons for a while, but
Right.
bought a HB 25,000 and are doing flexible packaging.
Wow.
I bought a label press in 2019, so I've been doing labels for a little while now too.
So you're really starting to expand until the I think the COVID-proof markets, huh?
That would be a good way of putting it.
Yeah, well, listen, man, that's to be honest, those are two things you cannot replace, you know, no matter what product you're going to buy, it's going to have to come either in a package or it's going to have a label on it so that you know what's inside. So, I mean, when you think about it makes absolute sense. So,
About
John,
yourself? How you been?
good. You know, we sold off MGI a while back, and so my dad's out of the business. I left about 8 months ago and started Tactiful, which is a new company, which is really based on digital embellishment. So teaching brands and agencies how to design for it, teaching printers how to market it and to sell it, you know, correctly into the and to price it correctly into the market, and also spending time with, you know, the manufacturers of equipment who want to get into this space. You know, it's about to blow up. Were you at Label Expo last week? I mean, look around it. Everything was, you know, all about the digital embellishment side. So it's about to blow up. And so that's kind of what we're doing now. And so we, you know, we're starting pretty good. It's good timing, I would say.
Good for you. That's great.
So what they think has asked me to be like their subject matter expert with the world of embellishment. And so I've been writing a series. First one was about, you know, how to design for embellishments and the obvious issues that, you know, a lot of the designers out there don't know how to do it correctly. And then the second one is how to estimate for it. And, you know, we talked to a lot of people who are estimating for embellishment out there. And this third piece, we're really talking to users on how they're marketing their digital embellishment to their clients and to the market itself, and how whether or not that's been successful. So that's one of the questions I have for you. You know, how long have you been in digital embellishment? And and tell me a little bit about, you know, how are you marketing to your clients today, those capabilities? Obviously, I know that you had some issues recently, but
Yeah, no, I mean the machine is good. It just was old. We, just give you 30 seconds on that. We bought that machine used. You may think you know that.
Razor's Edge, right?
It served us well for 5 years, right? We had a pretty major repair that basically we took the cheap way out, and they said, this could leak, and a few months later it leaked. Basically fried the board, and we're trying to decide what to do here. So I'll be honest, so this interview is well timed for me because I'm trying to decide what to do over there. It's $50,000 to fix it, or do I buy a new machine? And I'm kind of in that so but to answer your question, we got in about 5 years ago. That was with the MGI. We were doing some sleeking before that, right? And then probably right around the same time, maybe the sleeking was probably actually closer to 8 years ago. So we were doing that, just we had retrofitted our laminator, and just did that with our toner-based machines and the laminator, and then got the MGI. I would guess by 5 or 6 years ago. I don't actually know off the top of my head.
Yeah, and then so once you got that MGI, how did you market that to your clients? Were you out there telling them, listen, you know, we have this new MGI? Were you out there telling them, hey, we have this new process and kind of try to brand it as your own? Or what was some of the I guess the verbiage that you used to go to market on?
So with sleeking, we tried to brand it as our own, Right. Yeah, I forget what we called it. But I can get you that name. It was like sun something, sun shimmer or something like that,
Yeah.
we tried to brand it on our own. That was relatively unsuccessful, other than, our major clients that were using it, right? Our sales team didn't do a good job of cross-selling that, in my opinion. Pricing was one of the challenges, as it was,
Yeah.
they were just using it to get a cheaper foil stamping price.
Yeah.
That's, if you don't, if you have, I have a few salespeople that are just basically be my rock stars. They're my solution sellers. They're,
Yeah.
I'll call it the,
They get it.
yeah, they get it, right? They use it, right? They use it in the right applications. But then, the commodity guys just, use it to lower the price. On the MGI, it was very similar, right? We were using
Yeah.
it primarily to do short runs and save money. The people that are using it, really do get it. We put a whole lot of money into samples to try and get it into the sales team's hands. We didn't go through the whole training process with MGI, right? We bought a used machine. Konica says they have a whole training process, and actually Muriel is pounding me with trying to get me to buy a new machine. So she sent me, this is my second one, so I've seen what's in it already. So I left that one like that because I want to show that to my marketing gal. But I mean, we didn't do that, right? We didn't do a campaign, right?
Didn't make a big splash.
We did not make, we made a splash. We do a pretty good job. We have a pretty good marketing team. We did some posts, we
Yeah.
did some stuff, got some samples. But, did we make as big a splash as MGI's or as Konica is saying they could help us make? No. But
Do you think that would have been a difference?
I don't know. I'd like to think it would.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it might. I mean, again, I've seen it with salespeople. If they have the tools, if they have the talk track,
Yeah.
it makes a difference normally.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fun. That's actually a lot of stuff that we're doing now is exactly that, is we're teaching salespeople how to go out there and have that talk track and not talk about price per thousand, talk about the value that it brings you and that stuff. And one of the free stuff that one of the free pieces of advice that I always give people is track your reorder rates. If they try digital embellishment the first time, what percentage of them do it the second, third, fourth, fifth time? And if you have like an 80% conversion rate, that's ammo you give to your salespeople to go out and say, hey, listen, 80% of the people who try this come back to it. So, it starts building up that data. Because I think one of the issues that the industry has is the brands and agencies won't share what the responses are with you. So let's say you do a direct mail for, I don't know, the Boy Scouts of America, whatever it is, and you put embellishment on it. They're never going to tell you, hey, by the way, you put embellishment on it, I got 30% higher response rate than without it. Because then all of a sudden now you have all the leverage, because now you can say, hey, listen, you want 30% more, it's going to cost you, 10% more than last time, whatever it is. So the lack of data is really something that we find to be an issue in the industry, that nobody knows how that is impacting out in the field. Are you tracking any of that, or do you kind of run into the same situation?
Never in the same situation. I mean, we never did the suggestion. Somebody suggested, take some of your jobs and add digital embellishment for free and give them half the job. I
Yeah.
mean, that's, again, even that is a process, right?
Yeah.
And you really got to spend the time. But I think you would get some interesting feedback. I mean, I don't disagree with that philosophy, but again, how do you execute it, right?
Yeah, how do you track it?
Right. Yeah. How do you get your salesperson to agree to get the customer to agree? And then how do you track it? Right.
So, okay, just to give you a little heads up, like with the new technology now, there's the scanner. So, what we used to do when I was at MGI is at shows, people would be like, hey, I just got this off the HP booth. I was like, cool, give it to me. And I just throw it in. And then I could just in 2 seconds do a mask directly on the machine and then actually register to it. So there's new technology now that allows you to do that instant stuff, but you really have to put together time and effort and actually incentivize, you know, your salespeople to want to do this, because it's going to cost you time and money, obviously. So it is difficult to do. When it comes to educating your clients, whose responsibility do you think that should be? So if you look at digital embellishment as a whole, there's still a huge amount of work for the designers to learn how to design for this stuff, right? There's a huge amount of work for brand designers and brands to understand the impact that it can have. Do you think that's like your job? Do you think that's like manufacturer's job? Do you think it's their job to go out and educate themselves?
Well, whose job is it, or would I prefer does it?
Oh, well, both. I know who you'd prefer does do it.
Well, I'll be honest. I would actually prefer we do it, right?
Oh, you know? Really?
Yeah. I would prefer that my sales team is out there doing a lunch and learn, right?
Yeah.
You know, but again, that's so, so difficult, right? You know, a client doesn't want to set up a lunch and learn with a printer because they're thinking they're being sold to.
Right.
I use the GPA example, right? GPA can get a meeting with anybody around here, right? You know, Talmadge flies into town. You can get a meeting with any of my customers, right? Because they want to, you know, have the connection to GPA. I can't.
Right.
You know, so I think, you know, it has to fall onto, you know, the manufacturers, right? Because again, they are the ones that have the infrastructure, the money, and the clout to make it happen, right? You know, I can't hold a conference in Orlando and say, okay, all designers, I want to come teach you about MGI digital embellishment, right?
Sure.
But Konica can.
So that's one of the things that we did. I'm working with a client now. We're gamifying it. So we're having a design contest, and basically it's like a design off where all the major design agencies are coming in competing, and we're setting up a panelist, and we're going to kind of film it kind of like a Great British Bake Off type of thing. So it's going to be kind of like the Iron Chef. But you know, not only are they going to learn about it, they're going to compete and then actually run it on the machine and have a competition with a judge that kind of judges it. So yeah, it takes time. It takes money, it takes effort to educate them. But if you were to say like 1 to 10, how educated are your customers about digital embellishment? 1 being like they have no idea what it is, and 10 being like, yeah, they order it all the time. Where would you kind of place the market adoption?
2.
Still 2, huh?
Yeah. You know, and again, that question is, I don't say loaded, but it depends on who I'm talking to, right? You know, Disney, Universal, you know, they'd be at an 8, right? You know, a lot of, and again, it depends which department they're, right? But the people that should know do know.
Yeah.
Right. You know, some of my larger clients, you know, 7, 8, right?
Yeah.
But if I were to look at my entire spectrum of all my clients, and average it out, you'd be at a 2.
Wow. And that's pretty, just so you know, I've done 5 of these interviews. They've all said between 2 and 3.
Yep.
So you're spot on what everybody else is seeing. So it's pretty, which is good, because there's only one way to go, right? There's only opportunity ahead of us.
You can't get any worse, right?
Right. There's, you're at rock bottom. There's only one way to go. And so I wanted to come back. You said you had a brand for your slaking called Shimmer. And that's
Sun Shimmer. I can get you that name if you want. I mean, it's probably still on our website somewhere, but Candy will know it.
Well, here's the question. Because I've been going around for the past, you know, 10 years for anybody who bought an MGI. I said, you know, brand it yourself, get a copyright on it. And then, you know, when you're doing your marketing and it finds itself in a bid, then, you know, they have to send it to you. And so all of a sudden you have all these printers out there creating like their own brand, their own. And what I'm starting to realize, I go, fuck, maybe I messed this up. Maybe now I'm just confusing the market.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what this is or how to call it. And everybody's got a special sauce. And maybe that's kind of being counterintuitive. But I also didn't want them to say, hey, I got an MGI, or hey, I got a Skodix. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you think we're confusing the market by telling
people? I was 100% on board with you and 100% agree with you now. I think it was a major mistake, and that we confused the, you know, like I was like, oh, I don't want them to know. I don't even want to use the term sleeking, right? You know, I want them to, and it just confused the market. Confused my salespeople.
Yeah.
Right? You could use my salespeople. My salespeople couldn't keep it straight.
And that's the problem, because everybody's calling it something. Even the manufacturers are calling it something different.
Right.
And just so you know, we just started. I just, you know, you were on the FSEA. I remember we did some work with you. And I'm on the board now. I just got elected to the board.
Oh, good. Congratulations.
Well, thanks. We're creating the Digital Embellishment Alliance. And so the idea is to get all the manufacturers and all the printers on the same, basically, board, and be able to aim all our guns in the same direction with one same message, and maybe standardize. There's no standards in digital embellishment. It's not like printing where you have Fogra and Grackle and G7 and all that stuff. The idea is to now start becoming the standardization process so that adoption becomes easier and confusion kind of helps go away. Do you think that's something that would be interesting to the market, or do you think it's still ways to go, ways off?
I would be skeptical, right? I don't want to thwart your efforts, right? You know, I would think, you know, even Grackle, right? You know, again, you know, Grackle has done some good for standardization amongst printers and things like that, but my customers don't care, right? You know, they really don't care. They're like, what does it do for me, right? You know, again, if you could promote it, you know, give you leverage to help promote it to the customers and educate the customers, you know, then it's, I'm all for it. But, you know, again, you know, most of the customers don't care about the standardizations, for lack of a better term. I mean, you know,
well, I think it'd be, imagine everybody's marketing the same words. So instead of enhancement, embellishment, sleeking, this, everybody's using the same even terminology, I think, yeah, may make things easier from a perception standpoint, from the education.
It certainly would, but how do you monetize that, right? You know. So I mean, again, you know, if you're saying, if I had a magic wand and I could just do it, I would say, yeah, absolutely do it, right? Yeah. To standardize, you know, the thicknesses, right? Yeah. You know, rather than having microns and yada yada yada, you know, just standardize that, right? You know,
right.
Standardize the terminology, just to standardize all that kind of stuff certainly would be helpful, right?
Right.
But again, how do you you know, my mind goes with any of those questions. It's like, okay, how do you pull that off, right? You know, it's like, you know, again, you know, if you were to ask me to pay a membership fee into the Digital Alliance, right? You know, I'm like, okay, but what does that do for me, right? I mean, like Grackle, you know, I go off and on with my Grackle certifications, because it's, unless I have a customer that's requesting it, I don't bother.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't do anything for me operationally. I mean, you know, we run to a higher standard than Grackle, sure, and it's some extra, you know, so I only do it because a few customers request that checkbox. It's like SOC certification, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't get SOC certified for ages because, again, we go through a lot of the same processes until somebody says, oh no, you have to be SOC certified. I don't think you get much marketing dollars for that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know,
that makes sense. That is a pragmatic approach. Obviously, you're a businessman, you have to understand what's working for you. Is it working now? I mean, what you were doing, were you selling enough embellishment and marketing it the right way? Or is it about finding that right customer that just feeds that machine?
So we were not marketing it and selling it the right way. The machine was severely underutilized. All right. When the machine broke, we did the ROI. We have enough customers to justify a new machine. Right. You know, not enough, barely justify a new machine.
Right.
But it's severely underutilized. And if we lose any of those customers, the machine now becomes, you know, a drain rather than
an anchor,
a revenue producing asset. So, you know, we have outsourced those particular customers, because again, our customers don't care if we're actually doing it here or not. They just care that it gets done, right?
Right.
I would have pulled the trigger on a new machine. They gave me a really good deal if I wasn't so busy and had some cycles. Because again, it takes somebody to dedicate, you know, 10 hours, 20 hours a week for a couple of months to pull this off, to get your marketing material prepared, your sales team trained, your infrastructure with pricing, your sample workflow in place, so your sales team has the ability yeah. to take files, right? You know, there's just so much work that goes into making something like this successful. I just didn't have the time.
And when you were setting up and going to market, your pricing, how long did it take for you to understand the right? Because when we first came out, you were like one of the early ones out there. There was this whole idea that you can kind of sell at the same price that you would sell a traditional analog job. But as more and more machines got out there, I feel like, and I've seen it, there's been like a new pricing home that's kind of been created for digital embellishment. How long did it take you to kind of find out what those parameters were in terms of what was market bearable?
I'll let you know when we find out.
Still.
Yeah. No, because again, I mean, you know, some people, when we sell it as a security feature, I can get the old money for it, right? You know, when I sell it first, you know, okay, you put this digital embellishment on there, it's now a security feature, you can't copy that, you know, people don't have these in their home.
Yeah.
You know, Kinko's is not doing this, right? I can get the old dollars for it, right? If I'm just doing it, you know, I mean, heck, if it's not, even if it's raised even, you know, there's competitors out there where it's like, okay, you know, they're doing it, they're trying to cover their wages, right? So they're, you know, they're severely undercutting it. So you know,
still, oh my God, they're commoditizing, and such a shame to commoditize something like this. But it's the biggest issues with printers out there.
I have a buddy who bought a machine. We were doing some stuff with him, and you know, he was competing against, you know, doing business cards for one of his largest clients, and he's like, you know, this guy, you know, I can't afford to have you do it. He literally was within the walking distance of here and couldn't afford, I mean, you probably, you know, I'm talking about, right? You know, couldn't afford to have me do it because he was charging so little for it, because the guy that was trying to take his business was trying to take his business by saying, oh, we'll just throw this in and do raised UV.
Wow. Well, it is a very interesting landscape out there. Hopefully, you know, the more people, if we can get that 20%, 30% up to 60, 70, hopefully we can create some more value. I think the issue is that there's a lack of data to give salespeople to say, hey, listen, by putting this on this, this is what it's going to do for you concretely. So I think that's one of the things that a lot of people are starting to look at is, how do I use data to arm my salespeople so they're not just commoditizing it? And that's a big issue. That's a big problem right now.
Yeah, I mean, the FSCA did an awesome article on oil stamping.
Yeah.
You know, about how it attracts the eye and everything like that. And you know, like I haven't, maybe there is something out there. I haven't seen that for raised UV.
Well, there's been an overall lack of, I think, and that's one of the things that we're doing with the Embellishment Association is working with Clemson to start ramping up the data. So that we can actually start getting that kind of data, because we realize that the only way that salespeople who are used to selling commodity can actually sell value is with going in there with actual concrete data. Say, hey, listen, we got this new study from Harvard that says by putting raised UV, you're going to get 10% more response rates. Having simplified talk tracks with data when you drop off the white paper can help push those accounts over and say, yeah, okay, I'm going to get, you know, it's going to cost me more in my unit price, but I'm going to sell a lot more. I'm going to get a higher response rate or whatever it is that I'm trying to do. That's the conversation right now. And that we're all having internally is, how do we create then generate that data to arm people to sell value? And I think obviously that's everybody's goal, but it's very hard to do in our industry.
Yeah.
Very hard. Dude, it's too bad you don't want to publish this. This was an awesome conversation. really, really eye-opening. I really appreciate your time, John Henry. Before we go, is there any, if you had a one piece of advice to give somebody who's getting into embellishment today, from a marketing standpoint, what would you tell them?
Be prepared to train your sales team and do the hard, heavy lifting. Don't build it and they will come, you know, prepare for it to come, right? You know, that,
amen.
You know, that's the thing. I think, you know, if you do all that marketing that MGI or Konica tells you to do and gives you, you got to do the work,
Right.
You know, it, buying the machine isn't going to make the work just show up. You got to do the work. I think, you know, you can't do the work and not have the machine, but you know, you got to be able to do the work.
That's right.
Do the work.
I couldn't agree with you more. All right, bud. Well, listen, that's all I got. I thank you so much for your time. Yeah. Listen, I'll send you a version of the article before we go out, so you can tell me if you're okay with any of the quotes.
Yep.
And obviously this is just internal, this video. I will not be publishing this. So.
Yeah. And if you can throw us a link to the,
of course,
yep.
When it comes out, you'll be you'll absolutely get the link when it comes out.
Yeah. But I'm saying a backlink, if you can, like a hyperlink to our site.
Yes.
In the article.
That'd of course. Great. Well, of course we'll help you out with that for sure.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, bud.
All right. Good seeing you. Good talking to you. Hope
all right.
See you in person one day.
Yeah. Have a great weekend, man.
All right. You too. All right. See you. Thanks. All right.